It's time right now to talk to UK Talk Radio author of the month, Dorothy McCoy. We're going to talk about her fantastic book, which is called The Mysterious Secret Guardians. This is a book which brings back historical figures, brings them back to life. An interesting and exciting premise. Let's find out more in just a second as we talk to Dorothy.
All the time.
I listen all day, every day.
I don't know, I'm just addicted to it.
This is UK Talk Radio, with the music you love and the chat you enjoy.
All the time.
I listen all day, every day.
I don't know, I'm just addicted to it.
Today on UK Talk Radio, we're going to talk to Dorothy about her first book. We'll also in a moment talk about the second book. But the first book is doing very well. It's The Mysterious Secret Guardians in the London Underground. It's also in the UK Talk Radio Best Recommended Book, so it's doing very well. So Dorothy, to start with, for our listeners, what is the process of writing a book for you?
I've written several books. Only recently, in the last few years, have I gone to writing fiction. Before that, it was self-help books, textbooks, that sort of thing. But I wanted the freedom, the absolute freedom of a book of fiction. I can do anything. Now, these are historical fiction. So when I talk about history, Winston Churchill, Albert Einstein, World War II, even going back to World War I, all of that is authentic, absolutely authentic. But I weave it into the story so that, and I've had a lot of readers tell me that they were so grateful that history was there because they didn't know about, like, the miracle of Dunkirk. They didn't know anything about it. And that was absolutely pivotal in World War II and in our world today, because we would be entirely different if that had not happened.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a turning point and a situation, yes, which looked as if for the Allies that it was all over. But in actual fact, it wasn't. And Churchill's leadership during the war galvanized people, was always very positive to try and get the best out of people, especially when they felt that their backs were against the wall. So tell us about your book. So as you've mentioned, we've got real life people in a fictional setting. So the book is called The Mysterious Secret Guardians in the London Underground. Obviously, without giving away too much, but set the scene of the book for us.
Okay. It begins when a psychotherapist, Dr. Raven Wyandotte, she's Native American, is sitting in her office just taking a little break between clients. And she looks over in a big rocking chair in her office, and there sits Winston Churchill. He's just sitting there. And naturally, she's surprised, since he's been dead since 1965, and this is probably 2020. So he, since he is also her hero, knows everything about, read all his books, is she's shocked, but she's also excited. Here he is. I can ask him questions now. And he is his usual somber self. And he says, by the way, do you have any bourbon? Maybe a cigar. She tells him, no, I've got a Diet Coke. I'll share that with you. So they begin a conversation. He says, I am here because I was brought back from beyond. There's a job to do. And they thought I was the only one to do it. So they brought me back. And here I was sitting in the Red Parrot in London. I'm sitting there with Albert Einstein, who I had met in life, and also David Smythe, who was a director of MI5 back in the 60s. Here we sit at this table, and we have been told, at least David and I have been told, you were brought back, you must stop what Dr. Mengele is planning on doing. You must stop him. And of course, Dr. Mengele is the angel of death, they called him, from Auschwitz. He did a lot of research. A lot of people were killed. He was directly responsible for a lot of that. He decided you go here and live, or you go there and you don't live. So they have been brought back because we've all heard that Mengele drowned in South America. Well, we had no proof he drowned in South America. We do have proof that he did a lot of research. So he knew before the end of the war that Hitler would probably die. Something would have to be done to bring him back. But that's a little different way. Cloning was the way to do this. But to be able to do that, our villains had to live long enough to do this. So while he was in Auschwitz, he developed a youth drug. And when you take the youth drug, your body does not age. And you're very resistant to illnesses. You heal very quickly. You're still a human being, but you have these little extras. Well, one of the things they did not realize was there was a little oops in there. One part was not protected. So there they are now bringing back, trying to bring back Hitler, Himmler, and Goebbels, the three worst villains of World War II. So all of them know what their job is. Now, Dr. Einstein says, I don't get it. I understand why David's here. I understand why you're here. You're warriors. Why am I here? I'm a scientist. A physicist at that. I don't understand. So all they could tell him is, hey, you were told to be here. You're here. You'll help us, whatever that happens to be. So they set off on their journey. But there's another little oops here. David, before he was killed, he was assassinated. We know Churchill just died in bed with all his relatives around him. It was a beautiful thing. But anyway, David was shot in the back of the head by a rogue IT person there at MI5. So before he died, and he knew that his days were numbered because they were working on this case, and a few people knew that that's what they were doing. So he knew his days were numbered. And so he wrote down a code that was given to them that was found in an old airbase there in the London area. And in it, on the outside, was the name Mengele. On the inside was a journal. And in that journal was everything they were planning to do and the science behind it. So it was very, very important that they keep that journal. So he wrote down the information in there. He hid the journal, but he wrote down the information in there. In the book, one of Winston Churchill's books. And they said wherever, if something happened to him, wherever that book ended up, whoever had that book, because it would be sold off with his everything that he owned. He didn't have a family. And it happened to end up in North Carolina with Dr. Wyandotte, because she had bought it from a rare book dealer in London. So that is why Churchill is there to talk to her this day. You have the book. We need the book. And we were told you have to be part of the team. I'm supposed to join this team of dead people and go off to London and leave my clients. What am I going to do? So that began the journey. And from there, they end up in London at the Savoy. They have a nice headquarters because Beyond has unlimited resources. So whatever they need, like the suite at the Savoy, they have all the food. Well, she's the only one that eats. Everybody else is dead. But from there, they start reaching out and they start bringing in other members along and along until we get to the end of book two. So I'm going to stop with that one. But at the end of book two, there's a huge surprise. There's a huge surprise. These are throughout the book. It is definitely paranormal. And I think I can tell you, because it starts very early in the first book, when David Smythe walks into her office not long after Churchill, and she is smitten by David. And it is He feels the same way. It's just thunder and lightning. However, he is dead and she is not. Creates a little bit of a problem. So we have to work with that throughout. It's in the background, but it's there. And they pursue these Dr. Mengele, because the others, Himmler, Goebbels, Hitler, have not been brought back yet. They're still working on cloning, which they're having to reach out to other scientists in the here and now for the scientific discoveries that can allow them to clone a human. And cloning a human is very different from cloning other animals. It's very, very difficult. I won't go into that. The book does, but I'm not going to go into that. So they're on their way. And that's where we are at the beginning of book one.
So, Dorothy, as far as your books are concerned, you can also bring in animals which have been close to you. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I brought in Sophie. She was a Harlequin Great Dane, 185 pounds, an absolutely wonderful spirit. And so when she passed away, I was just devastated. I was devastated. And so I thought, when I was thinking about writing the book, you know, I can bring her back. I have the power to bring her back to be with me again. So I wrote her into the story. She is an entity. I won't go into what type of entity, but she's extremely powerful. And so she is woven throughout the story, all three books, and she helps us when we can't do it. We turn to Sophie. What do we do now? And she's good enough to help us.
Wow. Oh, that's the power of being able to write a book, isn't it? That anything is possible in fiction. Brilliant. So I think we've kind of, because we don't want to spoil too much, so I think you've given us a fantastic overview and set the scene. And obviously we can read the rest to find out what happens. So the book that we've just been talking about is The Mysterious Secret Guardians in the London Underground. That one, as I mentioned before, is already in the UK Talk Radio Best Reads charts. So your second book is out at the moment. Just give us a brief overview. This is Owl Mountain Doomsday Solution. So tell us a little bit about your second book.
Okay, the second book, of course, continues the first book. They do what they can. They have some successes, but other villains keep popping up. They, in the beginning, thought, hey, it's just these people and Hans and Franz who work for Dr. Mengele who are alive but have been enhanced with the youth drug. So they think, hey, these are all the people that are posed against us. Well, they begin to find out, and they have found out by book two, there's this huge neo-Nazi organization around the world. And truthfully, it does exist, and they're in large numbers. So they are backing them, and behind them, there's a larger secret organization with unlimited resources that is financing all this. So they learn they're going to have to step up their game. Because our little team, which I think its largest comes to eight people, our little team, though they do have special abilities, has to face this huge organization. And in book three, which will probably be out the end of the year, the first of next year, then we get into what do we do about these people? And how can that possibly be done with a small group? So it is a continuation of the first. We bring in some other, let's say, paranormal entities are introduced, because if you have a good side, what is good always opposite? Evil. So evil comes into the game, and then it starts getting really scary.
Well, it's a fantastic concept, and the imagination that you've put into this, bringing these figures from history that we would know and putting them into this situation where they've come back to life. I just think the whole premise is very exciting. It's just a fantastic idea, never been done before. I really like that. So we've kind of set the scene there. It's just absolutely fantastic. I love it. So we've talked about the first three books. And of course, the thing that our listeners will want to know, where can we purchase your book from?
Amazon has them, Barnes and Noble, and various other outlets out there where they carry books. But I know for a fact that both are at Amazon right now. They can be purchased right now.
And just to round off, I would imagine that you've had to do quite a lot of research to this because, of course, you've got real life figures. So I imagine hours and hours were spent on that.
Every time, and I don't write the books, and I got this hint from Dean Koontz, if you fully develop your characters, and of course, Einstein and Churchill were easy. I had all that I knew about Churchill, and I did research on Einstein. But then as they started to write the book, David and Dr. Wyandotte and the others, I was always surprised at what they came up with. And they would put me in situations where I had to do all this research that I had not planned on doing, like cloning and life extension research, which is out there, human life extension research, and geography, history, science, you name it. I had to research all these things. And yes, it took me hours and hours and hours and hours of research to make sure that anything that popped up in my book was accurate, as long as the information was out there. So yeah, but I love research. I love research. So it was like, okay, I can do this. It makes it go a lot longer. My hours are a lot longer. I don't get any sleep anymore. But I enjoyed doing the research, and I enjoyed passing that on to my readers, that information about, hey, did you know we can do this with cloning? Did you know that we've done this work in life extension? And in fact, the science is saying now, a lot of the top scientists, that we might be able to live 120 years or more.
Wow. I mean, so this is all, it's interesting because you brought these fascinating subjects into the book. And it sounds to me as if you enjoy doing that. And of course, this gives your reader some knowledge that they didn't have before they started reading the book.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of readers have told me, oh, I didn't know about Dunkirk. I went and looked it up after I read about it in your book. Or I didn't know about this. So I went and looked it up. So they're doing their own research too, which, as I'm also a master instructor as well as a psychotherapist. So I love it when people go out there and from my books do their own research and learn more. That's a nice bonus.
Brilliant. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you, Dorothy. Thank you for talking to us on UK Talk Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.